This hour is brought to you by Beard Guys. Purchase today at your local Meijer or Walgreens.
But I was 28 when I was calling defenses at Oklahoma State. It was a college game, but you know, it's all relative, you know, and I did all the calls, you know, so I made the decision. So, but this guy's not going to be doing that. Trust me. This is going to be Ben's offense. Ben's going to be making the decisions. And so I think the age thing does not bother me. It really doesn't, because, you know, the most important thing is having somebody that's thinking like Ben's thinking, anticipating like he's thinking, and I think that's what he hired. That's why he hired this guy.
Dave Wannstedt on Declan Doyle, essentially saying, don't worry about it. That's Dave Wannstedt saying, it's just not a big deal.
This is a guy to help Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is running this show. It is all about Ben Johnson.
Yeah, this guy is working for Ben Johnson. Don't worry about it. Hey, the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. What is it? Well, download the Odyssey app, log in, listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four during the first weekend of the tournament in March. Stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare and $5,000 for each guest.
What?
Also included for the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas.
I did not read that one all the way through.
Yeah,
I am now.
Do not miss that. Okay. Let's see if we can get the names of the reporters correct as we thank our local Hyundai dealers for this, the introduction of Bears nominal offensive coordinator Declan Doyle.
First and foremost, I want to thank Ben Johnson and the rest of the Bears organization, obviously, for giving me the opportunity. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, certainly very aware of the history with the Chicago Bears, and, you know, being here is a little bit surreal. I want to thank you know, everybody in Denver with the Broncos organization, as well as the New Orleans Saints. You know, over the last 6 years, I've had a lot of people that have had huge impacts on me, and I wouldn't be sitting in front of you if, you know, if they didn't impart knowledge and wisdom into me. You know, I want to thank Coach Payton first and foremost, you know, just because twice he's pulled me from relative anonymity. You know, once when I was 22 and I was at the University of Iowa, he gave me my first NFL job and allowed me to come into New Orleans and work for him for 3 years. Then I got a chance to be with Coach Allen for a year. When Sean went to Denver, you know, I followed him out there and he gave me a promotion and I was able to be a position coach for the first time. And so, you know, I've learned so much from Sean. You know, he's a Hall of Fame head coach and he's had a big impact on me and how I've ended up here. Certainly very excited for the opportunity to be here. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and I can't wait to dive in with Ben and the rest of the offensive staff. My goal is to be as supportive as possible to Ben, our players, and be a resource in any way that I can be. You know, it's an honor to be here and looking forward to getting to work.
Perfect. We'll go first to Courtney Cronin from ESPN.
Hey, Declan, welcome to Chicago. Two questions here. Number one, you mentioned Sean Payton. What's the connection there? How did you first, I guess, like link up with him to be brought onto that staff in New Orleans initially?
Yeah, so actually a guy by the name of Brendan Nugent, who actually was just in Seattle, he was the assistant O-line coach, and I knew him from kind of when I was a little kid. And he didn't know me at all as a coach, but I reached out to him when I was a student assistant at the University of Iowa, and I wanted to kind of you know, basically get around as many NFL buildings as I could. And so I asked if I could come visit for OTAs. I was able to, I basically paid my own way. I was making, you know, $7,000 at Iowa, but I paid for this plane ticket to go down there. And I spent 2 days around the staff, and they were gracious enough to allow me in there. I actually sat in Dan Campbell's meeting room while he was the tight end coach. And, you know, that was my first exposure to those guys. And then, you know, when Joe Brady left and he went to LSU, I actually kind of just threw my name in the hat, and there was a lot of people interviewing for, you know, that offensive assistant and quality control role. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get an interview and go down there, and, you know, it went well, and you know, here we are.
And I know, I'm sure you've heard from press conferences, doing your research, what some of the players have said about last year, that they kind of demanded more accountability and wanted it from the coaching staff. Obviously, you're one of the younger coordinators in the league. You haven't coached every position on offense. How are you going to get the buy-in and be able to coach players who might either be older than you or might have more experience and kind of as you're feeling your way out in your first time as an OC?
Yeah, I think knowledge is power, and that is what the guys care about ultimately. Last year was the first time that I've ever actually been older than all the players in my room. And so, you know, I've been coaching, this is going to be my 10th year. But that's really kind of been a part of, you know, my journey to this point. But I think players care about, you know, can you help me first and foremost? Can you put me in a position to be successful to help the organization and my family? And that's earned, you know, like you have to put in the work and earn that trust and that confidence. And that's my plan here, you know, hit the ground running and go to work.
We're next to Dan Weir from the Chicago Tribune. Go ahead, Dan.
That's better.
Hey, Declan, you obviously mentioned your time around Sean in two places. Obviously, he's a head coach who calls plays offensively. I'm curious what you learned the last 2 years about how Joe Lombardi was a resource for Sean in that relationship. And then you're obviously further removed in New Orleans, but Pete was a right-hand man for Sean for so long. What you've taken from those two guys that will help you help Ben?
Yeah, so those two guys are two people that I look up to a lot. They've had huge impacts on my life, Joe and Pete. And I was actually talking to Ben about that during the interview, because it was like, you know, basically my entire time, you know, 5 of my 6 years in the NFL, there's been this position that was Pete and Joe. The biggest thing is high levels of communication from, you know, that position, the ability to utilize all the resources within the staff and give very direct, you know, not only messaging, but direction to what we're trying to accomplish. The biggest thing is that you're on the same page as the play caller. And so me and Ben are going to have to spend a ton of time together diving into film. And I'm really, really excited to go do that. And to make sure that I see the game the same way he sees it, to be able to orchestrate it and set the table for him and, you know, really make sure that we're doing it the way he wants to do it.
As a little bit of an extension of that, how do you sort of envision or describe the job description in season? Because Ben was very clear last week that it's a table setting role, you know, and there's things that he needs early in the week as he's overseeing everything else from you to help him get his week off to a good start.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, you said table setting role. I think that's a great way to describe it. Ben is going to have less time than he's ever had as a play caller. And so, you know, obviously I think that that's kind of a thing that's morphing as we go. We'll kind of figure out what that looks like. But my job is really going to be to organize in detail, you know, the game plan initially, utilizing, you know, our staff. Everybody will have different assignments, kind of how we are going to build this thing with schematically as we attack a defense. But basically I have to do that work that he's not going to have time to do. And he's going to have to be able to trust me that I'm going to be able to give him the correct information that he needs as a decision maker. And then, you know, really throughout the week, streamlining the teaching progression for the players, making sure that everything is built around them. You know, myself, Ben, and the rest of the staff, we're not going to take a snap this year. We have to make sure that our players understand their toolbox so that they can go out and play fast and play at a high level.
We'll go next to Pat Finley from Chicago Sun-Times. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Declan, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. From afar, what did you see in Caleb Williams that you're intrigued by? And what did you see in Caleb Williams that you're eager to get down and try to fine tune on the other side of that?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously I didn't spend a ton of time. Like, I'm not in the same division. Like, Ben got to see him on crossover film quite a bit. You know, we're pretty early in the process. Obviously in the draft process, the arm talent is crazy. I mean, it's very, very impressive. You know, he's a very impressive player. I got to watch him a little bit when he was at USC. You know, didn't get a chance to watch him as much this past year. I've started to dive into him, but I wouldn't say that that's a, you know, full evaluation quite yet. I don't think that would be fair. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just the talent of the kid, the ability to use his legs. You know, he is a tough kid. You see it on tape. You know, obviously the communication and, you know, all that stuff, but his second act, his ability to evade the pocket, his ability to create, is a special thing. And it's something that I got to see with, Bo in Denver last year. You know, that ability to evade and put pressure on the defense and kind of be the eraser of, game planning mistakes. I think that's really exciting about him.
Perfect. Thank you. We'll go next to Scott Baer from Marquee. Go ahead, Scott.
How's it going, Coach? In his introductory press conference, Ben Johnson talked about taking his scheme and kind of ripping it down to the studs and then rebuilding it around the talent that's on the roster. Two-part question. Number one, can you talk about your role in that process? And number two, are you excited about the prospect of kind of taking this system and really kind of helping these players maximize their talents?
Yeah, so I think that we'll all have a role in it, the whole staff, as we sit down and we kind of look at, Ben has been great. You know, he's basically like, hey, I want to take this thing and shape it around the personnel. I think our whole staff will be able to sit down and dig further into that. I think you said something about if I would be excited to do that. I'm very excited to jump into it. Obviously watching Detroit from afar, there's a lot of similarities between what we did in New Orleans and Denver, and the offense that he's built. I think it's really the modern version of that. And so I'm very excited to kind of, sit down with Ben, discuss scheme, discuss things that fit our personnel and be able to shape this thing around the personnel that we have here.
We'll go next to Adam Johns of The Athletic. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey Declan, kind of off that, I was wondering if you could take us through Bo Nix's rookie season a little bit, like what worked, what didn't work. How did you see his relationship with Sean kind of evolve? And then what did you learn? What did you gain from that experience that you could take here to Chicago?
Yeah, I think that's, it's a little bit broad. You know what I mean? Like what was good, what was bad. I think that, there's a progression to every step of this. And that is first and foremost, mastering the language of it, mastering, being able to communicate and understand where the pieces are supposed to be and be able to envision those things. And I think Bo got better as the year went on and got more comfortable within the offense. We certainly tried to shape it around him. There were things that we did that were different than we had ever done, allowing him to try to evade the pocket and get out into space where he wanted to play. That was something that, we hit a big play against Kansas City late in the game on something that we had never, in previous years ever had before. And so I think first and foremost, like Caleb being in here, going through all of his tape, evaluating, what we feel like he's good at, what we feel like he's really capable of going out and being the best in the world at, excelling at it, and trying to shape and build the offense around that. I would say that's what we try to do with Bo, and that's what we're going to do here.
Last two, we'll go next to Sean Hammond of Shaw Media. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Declan. Welcome to Chicago. I was wondering if you could take us back in time a little bit. Just about your decision to get into coaching. You were playing baseball at Iowa Western. Why did you sort of shift gears and head into coaching football?
Yeah, so I was around coaching my whole life. I grew up around it. And, I really knew at some point in time I was going to want to coach football. I had a strong interest in that. The most important thing, like the reason I coach is people and the relationships and the ability to impact young people. And at the time it was going into college. I didn't know how good I would be at it. To be quite frank, if I wasn't very good at it, I would be coaching at a high school somewhere right now, probably, or a lower level. This is my passion. That's why I did it. I wanted to be able to impact young lives and change people's lives. I got into it. I got to Iowa and I basically said, it's this or nothing. I don't have a plan B. I'm going to put everything I have into this. And I did that. And, obviously it has led us here.
What did that look like in terms of like, was that late hours? What is being a student assistant like look like? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's a very unique thing. Cause like, very broad title there. Basically what a graduate assistant is or what a quality control is in the NFL. They're very similar. Yes, there's some late hours, but basically you're doing all the organizational things, especially early on in my time at Iowa. It was like, anything that nobody wanted to do, that was my job. And so learning, the game breakdown, how we were going to talk about defense, learning how to draw the playbook, basically being responsible for all the teaching material, because, we're teachers. And so being responsible for the teaching material, learning how that gets installed, all those things to try to put our guys in position to have success.
Last one for you, Coach. We have Mark Carmen, CHGO. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Declan. Just wondering, was this at all on your radar this year that you could get to this position? Were you thinking like, well, if Ben goes there, maybe he'll be calling me?
No, I would say not. I've always felt like you got to be the best in the world where your feet are. And that was what I was, you know, aiming to do. I was trying to be the best tight end coach that I could be in Denver. I've been, you know, preparing for this job, you know, from the very beginning. The last 10 years have kind of culminated in, you know, arriving here. But no, I mean, this is something that, you know, I'm very excited about. I'm very excited to be here, but I wasn't, you know, sitting there looking out the, you know, the front of the car, looking at the next thing. I was really just trying to focus on, I was really proud of, you know, what we did in Denver. You know, Vegas had us at 5 wins and we ended up being a playoff team. And, you know, to be able to turn a program around like that, it takes, you know, focus on the goal at hand. And that's what I was focused on.
There he is, Declan Doyle. Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Fine.
Okay.
It's fine. The coaches love talking about being where their feet are.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. It's the coaching version of one day at a time, one game at a time. It's in that box of cliches.
Yeah, coaches love saying, Eberflus used to say that too. He loved saying, be where your feet are. And so now we heard it, Dennis Allen said, be where your feet are. And now Declan Doyle said, be where your feet are. And as I thought, he did not play football. He was a baseball player.
Also, he did not mention his father.
No, but it's right. We know that his dad got him these opportunities at Iowa and obviously had some connections there. Sure.
Right.
We also know his father was, full disclosure, his father was fired by Iowa for abusive and racist behavior and then was summarily fired by the Jacksonville Jaguars when it came to light there. So that was, but his coaching career started after he was playing baseball at a different college and then decided he wanted to coach football. And hey, if he got the opportunity, made the most of it, that is his, you know, good on him.
It's going to take me some time to figure this one out.
How so?
I'm not trying to be ageist or anything, but like he sounds very young, but he
does sound very young, and he is very young.
He is young, but I'm not holding that against him. I just need to see how this plays out.
It's, and again, I go back to what Dave Wannstedt said coming into this.
Yeah,
basically, he's saying it's just not worth being that worried about. It's not that big a deal.
It's not about,
this is a functioning cog in the Ben Johnson machine, and little more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not worried or anything. I'm just saying I want to learn more about him and his role. Like, I feel like I have a. The book has been written on Dennis Allen and what to expect. For him, less. And not only less, but obviously since he's not calling plays, I mean, it's going to take a long time to learn about him.
The 847. Declan said he did everything at Iowa no one else wanted to do. But I don't recall him scoring any touchdowns.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Oh, dude. Let's talk to Jarrett Payton, see how he feels about the way the staff is rounding out and where the Bears are at the moment. That's next on The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
Let me see you pop them things, shake them doodle brand.
You know that music means it's time to talk to Jarrett Payton, so let's do it. He's on Twitter, at Payton Sun, S-U-N, WGN-TV Sports Anchor, GN Sports. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Hello, Jarrett. Now that we've had a chance to meet these coordinators, do you have any thoughts, any reactions?
Well, first and foremost, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Always great to talk to you, Dan and Marshall.
What's up, Jared?
Yeah, listen, I'm excited. I'm like everybody else, waiting for football to get back here so we can see how this all kind of gets in shape and how it all kind of start forming. Right? I mean, everything looks good right now. It's kind of like that honeymoon period, and everybody's excited. We've been here before, but I do feel like this is different. I was just having this conversation. I was on a meeting with my mom and my sister just a little bit ago, and And then when I was talking to someone outside of our family, I was like, this is different. My mom's like, why is this different? Why is this different? I'm like, this is... Mm-hmm. My sister, she's like, you always are saying the same thing.
Good Jared. Question. Always say, good.
I get you. I said, but this is the feeling of the everything all encompassing when we talk about having the number one quarterback that was drafted here to Chicago. That hasn't happened. Still, there's you still got to figure out how to get Caleb Williams to peak performance and take him to the next level. Totally understand that. But also when it comes to the head coach that everybody wanted, we haven't done this before. And I said, Mom, I told her, I've been saying this to a lot of people. I would say about 95% of the people that I was talking to leading into this process, Ben Johnson's name was the first to come up. They were like, I want Ben Johnson. We want Ben Johnson. I'm like, cool. Guess what? Kevin Warren, the McCaskies, and Ryan Pulse. They delivered. They delivered on this. Now it's for them to be able to give him all the resources that he needs to be successful. And if it doesn't work, I was like, Bears fans, don't be upset with anybody else. Don't be upset anymore. You got it. Like, you got what you wanted. Now we got to see if it all plays itself out. Right. I mean, a lot of people, I remember with Matt Eberflus, that wasn't the guy that they wanted. We can go Matt Eberflus. I mean, Matt Eberflus, whoever you want to, you can think about the names still. Now you got the guy. He's got to prove himself. But this is kind of what the consensus wanted. Now we got to see if it all plays itself out.
So I just want to know how your mom reacted to that when you gave her the explanation.
She wasn't on board, was she? She did. She was on board. She wasn't happy at first when I first started out, but it is what it is. I said, man, I lived this life, Mom. She's like, I lived it too in the 70s and 80s. I was like, well, you are right. Let me scale back just a little bit. But I'm hoping it's different, fellas. It just feels different. Dennis Allen, I think we were talking even with the conversations before this became official. I mean, just his title and what he's done, when you look at his resume, it does. It gives Ben Johnson another sounding board when there's some things that he might not understand or things that he might have questions about that he can go to. And everybody that I've talked to that has a connection with Ben Johnson says they all say the same things. And so these are people that I respect. These are people that he's talked about and Ben Johnson's talked about. John Shoup, all these guys had great conversations. They all say the exact same thing. And I think that's what excites me, because these are people that I trust.
From a player's perspective, Jarrett, what is the proper tone and an amount of outreach from a new coaching staff to players? Whether if you are a player and you know you're likely to be on the roster, not some fringe guy, but you know you're on the team under contract. What is the right way for the coach to text you or for the new positional coach? What do you want to hear? What do you not want to hear?
Man, Dan, it's funny, right? Because I was one of those guys that was just trying to make it. So I don't know if I was getting that text message,
I don't know if they had texting back then either, but put yourself in the...
Wow, you didn't need to do that. That was unnecessary.
No. Dan's right. I mean, it was still beginning. I mean, Jeff Fisher and I were really close in Tennessee, but I got a phone call from him, and this was like through the process of trying to make the team. And when I got cut one time, I was at dinner downtown. I was celebrating that I made the team, because I didn't get any phone calls yet. And I got a phone call at dinner. Somebody goes,
oh, no.
You have a phone call. Yeah.
That
I found
sucks.
Out then. Right when I,
when
right
you're
when
at
I was
dinner?
About to, yeah, bro. I was on a nice little dinner date. You know what I mean? We were celebrating. I just got everything. I was like, you know, we had the drinks come in, buying the big steaks and all that stuff. And then I was like, are you for real right now? Seriously? So I've been on that side. But if I was one of these guys, I just want to hear kind of whoever the position coach is, whoever is reaching out to me, saying what's up. And then also, too, just being like, if I'm one of those guys that's on this team, you know, back and forth, how do you see me fitting in? Because that's what Ben Johnson kind of talked about. And I don't know if everybody has the same philosophy yet, because not everybody's been together on this coaching staff, but Ben seems like he wants to bring the best out of you as a football player. And to me, that's what I want to know. Coach, how are you going to help me take my game to the next level? Because that's everybody's got to be able to buy in. And I heard you guys talking about buying in earlier. You got to be able to buy in to be successful, and everybody's got to play their role. But everybody's got to get better. Everybody has to get better. And Dennis Allen was talking about that, about, you know, everybody's a teacher, and you have to find a way to elevate these guys' games and what you have on the roster. That's what's different in this situation to me when it comes to the head coach. He comes in not from a system, not from somebody else's tree and somebody else's offense, but he is going to build this offense around his quarterback. And I think that's what jumps out to me about Ben Johnson more than all the coaches that came before him, is that Matt Nagy and all these guys, it was, here's the offense, find a way to fit into the offense. If it doesn't, then you're out of here. Where Ben Johnson comes in, it's so refreshing, saying we're going to build this thing around our players. That's what excites me the most. This is his system. He built it. He's one of one. Like, he's a one of one. And so if you can't get excited about that, then I don't know. You must not have a pulse.
We're talking with Jared Payton on the Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 to 2 here on The Score. I also want to know how they plan to communicate. All of these smart people, or ostensibly smart people, who are here to help translate, communicate, and facilitate Ben Johnson's mind meld with Caleb Williams. Is this a time where less is more? Is this a time where Caleb's got to show up at work and say, okay, well, who's my boss this morning? Who's my boss this afternoon? Through whose eyes am I seeing all this? Or is this an actual personal Ben Johnson project?
Oh, Dan, I've been thinking, and you, Marshall, I was listening earlier when you guys were talking about the reports about, you know, adding a voice for Caleb, right?
Right.
And I've also heard what Olin said. Like, I heard, like, yep. It's like, don't even, it's not about it. This needs to be him and Ben. I think too many chefs in the kitchen always could be a problem. I'm not sure how everybody's role with, you know, passing game coordinator and all this stuff. I think the relationship with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams is going to be crucial for the success of helping him unlock those doors to the next level of his game. And I think that's the person that we all kind of envision that he was going to be around. That's not always, it's going to be tough, because Ben has not only to run this offense, but he also has to be able to run this football team. And that's the one of the big question marks. And we thought the big hurdles of coming from just being an offensive coordinator to a head coach now and running a team. So the time limit that he has to being around Caleb, he's going to have to me, etch out his time and do it wisely to be able to have as much time with Caleb as possible. So I think it's yet to be seen. I feel like he needs to be around Caleb more. And I want him to be that voice, because he's the one, from all the conversations of talking to these people that know Ben, they talk about how he's helped change these quarterbacks' lives of being around a guy like Jared Goff, of like the conversations. But that was different when you're in Detroit. It's going to be different now. But having guys like JT Barrett that actually played, I love how he's bringing guys on this coaching staff that have played the game of football. And I think that guys that are respected, when you look at the way that they came play the game of football, because I think that's going to be big. But Ben's voice is going to have to be prevalent in his ears, but also as well teaching what he wants around this coaching staff to be able to them to be his voice as well. And I that's going to be. It's going to be something we're going to have to watch.
So we're learning about these coordinators today. There's still jobs available on this coaching staff, and the one that obviously is jumping out at a lot of people right now, that offensive line coaching job. How concerned are you about them getting this thing sealed, wrapped, delivered, and getting started on figuring out what they need?
Marshall, man, you saw my video I posted on Instagram, man. It's all about the offensive line. I've been preaching that, and I know everybody else has here at Chicago. It's about finding ways to dominate on the line of scrimmage. And I think the only way for Ben Johnson to kind of bring some of the things that we saw in Detroit here is to be able to win up front. The only way I believe to be able to truly help Caleb is to win up front, to have a strong run game, to see those things and see if we can mirror those things from Detroit to here. I think it's getting that right, getting the coach right, getting the offensive line fixed is going to be the key of success for how fast on the offensive side they can get this thing going in the right direction. And I don't know. We know that you can change things in an off season, but this offensive line needs help, and I'm banking on that. You get the coach right to then be able to kind of reset the minds of the guys that you bring in, to the guys that you have on the roster that you're keeping. All that stuff has to kind of mirror in the fight, because I look at Jaden Daniels and coming into the season, this season, right? A lot of people weren't giving the Commanders a lot of love on their offensive line, but they figured it out. Guys bought in. They showed the way. Because I look at their system, they didn't run the football a lot, so a lot of pressure was on Jaden Daniels to throw the football. And the only reason why I know that they don't run the ball a lot is because, man, when you look at those prop bets every single week, man, they. None of those Robinson, none of those guys were getting any yards. Yards weren't there. So a lot was put on his shoulders. That goes to what Cliff Kingsbury and that system that they put around Jaden to be able to be successful. It could be done. I just don't know how fast it gets done here.
We've got a couple minutes left at most here, Jarrett. But does it matter that an NFL offensive coordinator didn't play football?
No, I'm past that. Okay. And I get where you're. I used to be like that. I'm asking. I try to not be like that.
No, it's a valid question though, right? Because that's where we're all wondering it, and we're listening to him talk. But he's not calling plays. I think if he called plays, I'd probably have a little more concern.
Yes, I would. Damn, I'm so glad you asked that though. Damn, because that's how I was back in the day. It was like, well, you didn't play, so you didn't. No, it's not about that. These guys are. They're students of the game, and they find ways you can be in this game without having played the game, and just being around some of the brilliant minds that you're around. Anytime that you're around a person like Sean Payton, I mean, I've just been around him in certain settings and just learning football around him. I can only imagine if you're in meeting rooms or you're around in a facility and what you can learn. If you're smart enough to understand this game and love this game, you can learn how to be able to teach the game as well, especially from brilliant minds. So I'm with you though, Marshall. I think it maybe would be a little bit more. I'd be concerned if you were calling plays, but as of right now, that's not the case.
Jarrett Payton, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Jarrett.
Always, guys. I'll see you guys.
That is Jarrett Payton talking Chicago Bears with us, and you should be watching him on WGN. When we return, let's hear some selections from the Richard Hightower press conference. I don't think we have to hear it in full. We know the guy. We know who he is.
He's been Hightower.
Right, but maybe if there's some insight into his own retention or how he expects things to be different, we'll touch on it next on The Score.
Bernstein and Harris.
Jarrett Payton.
Marshall, you've done a really, really good job.
Middays 10 till 2.
You guys have become the perfect match, man. It is so much fun to listen to.
Caleb Williams, who's looking for his first career game-winning drive to end his first season. It'll come down to Cairo Santos from 51 yards. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good!
It was good.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. We haven't had anybody falling on their face at the coordinator press conferences.
But now we go to someone who was partly responsible for a 5-12 season.
Indeed. And yet he was also believed to be better than any of the other alternatives for them as special teams coordinator. Richard Hightower worked for Matt Eberflus, and now he works for Ben Johnson. And he re-met the media today, starting with talking about being retained in his job by the new guy.
This is my third time with a first-time head coach. So, obviously, when I came back to this regime, that was with a first-time head coach. My time in San Francisco helping, you know, Kyle Shanahan as a first-time head coach, getting that program turned around, I think I could be an asset. And the main thing is they feel I could be an asset, which I'm honored, you know, to obviously George, you know, Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, and Ben for believing in me. And I can't wait to help, you know, onboard this process. When I sat down with Ben, it was clearly evident from the get-go that this was someone that I wanted to work with and somebody I wanted to work for and be a part of his staff. You know, the players here really enjoy the players here, really enjoy hearing Ben's vision. He was clear and concise from the get-go and very transparent about everything that was occurring. So his passion for special teams really was exciting to me. And not only for special teams, but connecting all three phases together, playing complementary football was just really exciting to me. So I'm excited to be back and help these guys reach the next level.
Did you expect to be back?
Well, in this business, you never, ever know. I'm on a one-day contract. That's how I look at everything. And I've been looking at it for that for, what, 19 years now, or what is coming up on, I think. I lose track of it. Maybe 18, 19, 20 years. I'm thinking on a one-day contract because I'm trying to get better every day, and I'm trying to help our players get better every day. So I don't think about where I'm going to be, any of that stuff. I just put my best foot forward, one foot in front of the other, and try to make people around me better.
But will he be where his feet are? I don't think you can be today. I think that was a mandatory work in for all of the coordinators to mention about be where your feet are.
We're all where our feet are, unless
you lose your feet.
Yes,
because that happens. Sometimes your feet are gone.
I'm yes,
and then you're not where your feet are.
Yeah,
it's bad for you
unless you take them with you. I don't know how that would work though.
Well, that's the scouting term, right? Forgets his feet sometimes. Able to bring his feet with him and carry his pads well and all that. But okay, so we got close to that cliche. I can do without the complimentary football.
But I understand why you don't like complimentary football.
Just outscore the team by a lot. However, you got to do it.
But complimentary football is a thing.
No. Complimentary, it's usually a defensive coach talks about complimentary football.
Yeah.
You almost always hear that from a defensive coach. It's one of these things that means nothing. Obviously, all phases in football matter, but you don't play defense for your special teams or play offense for your defense. The offense should do whatever it can to score as many points as it can, regardless of what anybody else is doing. If complimentary football means the defense doesn't allow any yards, great. It's just an after-the-fact thing where people like to give credit to everybody else. But, okay, so he won't answer, did you expect to be back? That's a simple yes or no answer. Yes, no, or I don't know.
One-day contract, baby.
Okay, but nobody actually feels that way. People know how long their contracts are. So how does he address now the current state of accountability for special teams?
My role in that is what it's always been. And in the special teams room, they're held to the highest standard and they want to be pushed and they're held accountable. And I love them. I put my arm around them, but I put my foot up there behind when I need to. So that's the real peek behind the curtain of what goes on in the special teams room. And a credit to those guys that they continue to play at a high level week in and week out, even with anything. You know, you're always going to have adversity, you know, but those guys in the special teams room rose to the challenge every week and were competitive as they could be. So they get held extremely accountable and they know that. And really, Mark, that's all I know. My father, you know, God rest his soul, but he held me accountable to everything that I said I was going to do as a man and said that if you say you're going to do something, do it. If people expect something, then you need to demand it. And you need to step to the occasion when you say you're going to do something and be accountable for your actions. So really, that's all I know. So that's a great question, but that's all I know.
Okay.
Satisfied with that answer?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's a special teams coach. I'm not going to get too crazy about a special teams coach.
I asked you because I want to make sure that I'm not tripping by just being like, that's fine.
No, I want to drill down when we can at some point. You still had some open items on Declan Doyle.
Are they open items?
I don't know. You seem to have more reservations than I do.
It's not reservation. It's just I realize that our evaluation of him is going to take longer than an ordinary coordinator's evaluation because what is he doing?
We don't know.
That's my point. And as long as the Bears are scoring more points than everybody else, it's not really going to matter, is it?
No, it's not his offense. It's not his vision. He clearly is a teaching assistant to the professor.
TA.
You know what I mean? Like he maybe will teach a workshop lab here and there and grade some papers.
Yeah, he's the hand-picked apprentice because this is a guy who it seems like, obviously Ben Johnson was a tight ends coach as well, young guy. And rose up pretty quick and probably is looking at Declan Doyle and saying, I wish someone would have done this for me.
Fine.
I'm going to bring you along.
I'm really not that worried about it. He does sound young, and I agree. He's a TA. This is the professor. It's like a law clerk where somebody will earn that opportunity to go function under the person who's actually making all the judgments and the decisions.
Yeah, his role is important because that's part of the organization of how they do things, and he's running practice or the offensive part of practice. So I think all those things need to be taken into consideration, but we won't know until they hit the practice field.
There's still no offensive line coach for the Bears. We had some people weighing in on the offensive line and what some of this stuff means. We heard from them earlier talking about the quarterbacks, both Clay Harbor and Joshua Perry. So I want to bring back some of their thoughts on offensive line stuff when we come back on Bernstein and Harris on The Score.